Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Seth Payne.
And I'm Sean Pendergast.
Did you know that Payne and Pendergast is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
That's awesome. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or if you're a jump straight to the highlight person, we got you covered as well.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, my name first, obviously.
Hey!
And hit the follow button to get every minute of the show, your way and on your time.
It's the Payne and Pendergast Podcast. New episodes drop daily.
Hey, we appreciate y'all getting involved on the text line, 713-572-4610, and on the Mo Karam Injury Lawyer live streams, both on the YouTube page and the Twitch chat. There's still people weighing in on their various Astros memories from the run. Obviously, there's some sentimental ones, like someone who said in 17, their Uncle Mike had passed, or actually had been a diehard his whole life. He had a stroke with him while they were watching the Yankees series. So game three, you know, passed away. Called the cousin when they won. They went, kind of just enjoyed the championship by the grave. So always appreciate the ways in which sports can do that for you. And, of course, in an entirely different facet on the same thing with the Astros, memory was New York fans being so broken by the Astros that they were chanting FL Tuve at the Knicks game.
Someone also said, just real quick, only because it was wild, Ted Cruz getting a beer can thrown at him during the parade. We were there. The dude was next to us.
Yeah.
We were broadcasting from the parade, the victory parade, and everybody's like, obviously wild scene. And the dude was standing to our right, and I actually said it on the air that it's somewhere in our vault. I was like, I think somebody just threw something, and I didn't know at who or whatever.
Yeah.
Some dude threw a whole beer can.
And tried to cover it up like, I was trying to give him a beer.
Yeah,
you remember
and then he
that?
Walked away, and the cops just, rah, they swore.
Yeah, I don't know how you expected to make that one.
I tried to give him a beer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, yeah,
that was
sure
live on our airwaves. I was like, wait a minute, I think something just happened.
Real quick, another one. I think about Dusty Baker. We talked about the Joe Kelly situation.
Oh, yeah.
And remember before that, get on the mound, little bleeper. It was live on the air. Talk about hot mics.
Yeah.
Man. Oh, man. I love what the Astros have
done. Sean was right. We could do 4 hours.
You could do this all day long. Yeah. Keep them coming in.
A lot of random stuff, too. Yeah.
That's the beauty of it. It's really the random little things. Obviously,
it's not
the big.
It's not just that Jose Altuve home run against the Yankees. It's just a little small.
Aroldis facial expression.
Yeah.
All right. Not going to really parse down to the facial, or maybe we'll. I don't know. I don't know where your brain is at. But CJ Stroud talked to the media yesterday, and I would like to start just with an overarching perspective before we even get to like the idea of if you heard what you wanted to hear from CJ headed into a very big game versus the Titans at home. He sounded different to me, right? Mm-hmm. It's because we've talked about it, how he sounded less like himself in the early weeks of the season. It felt a little bit more, maybe not even quite like the previous CJ that's really jovial,
right.
But he sounded a little more human and a little bit less like he was kind of really trying to find the right and the perfect answer in any instance necessarily. I don't know if that's the exact way to put it, but he felt more human is the word that kept coming to me.
You texted us that, and I was literally in the midst of listening to it. And not to say that's not what you...
That's not how you heard it?
I didn't hear it that way.
Okay.
You know, sort of still just not bad. And maybe it was the context, and we're going to hear some cuts here in a minute. Maybe just the frustration of, you know, we're going into week four. And I don't know exactly where you want to start, but, you know, he had a long pause when he was asked about the offense during one cut, during one answer. And then another one, he literally said about the offense and some of the things they want to see, I haven't seen it just yet on the field. And that was, to me, you know, he was pretty honest, but maybe that's why I didn't quite feel what you felt, you know?
Well, and I mean, I don't think honesty and humanity, I don't even know if that's the right word I should use, but like that feeling of almost genuine sincerity or whatever that I'm trying to get to. I don't know if those things are mutually exclusive, but it felt a little different to me. I'm interested if you listened to it whole, especially listening here on Sports Radio 610 with The Drive, if you had that same sentiment. But talking about the offense in particular, that's the part that we need, right? Mm-hmm. As much as we've talked a lot about the defense, especially because of the personnel moves that have happened this week, this offense is still objective number one, 1A, 1B, 1C. You can also make it number two, number three. This is mm-hmm. going to be a huge determination and determinant of what the aptitude of this team is as you're trying to go and, you know, salvage what's happened early on. And so I thought it was interesting that CJ was asked if he was picking up the new system and how he's able to grasp it.
I wouldn't say it'd be difficult. It's just new. You know, like, everything takes time. I think, you know, it's something that, you know, you just, as you keep going along, keep pushing forward. And I think sometimes failure is some of the best recipe for, you know, breakthrough. Even though it sucks, it's not good in the moment, but I believe that I'll be great from it, and I'm learning a bunch. I think our team is starting to pick it up. But yes, you know, like I said, it's a mixture of, you know, doing some of the old stuff, you know, that they've done in the past, you know, Nick, and but also, you know, doing some things that we're good at. So we're just finding that balance right now.
Nick and who?
That's a good question, because in the moment I thought about it, and I was like, Nick and who?
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, is that Szaplinski? Because those are the two guys that would be new to this.
I don't know. I don't know.
What goes through your mind? Because I know that you're like, I don't know, but what is the thought? Because I can see there's something in there. Go ahead. Regular speculation sounder.
Casario, for one, who has his hands all over this offense. Well, we are. We're going to do exactly that. Szaplinski was one as well. Could be Gerard, but I think this is more about, you know, the new offense being more of a Patriot. Not more, it is. I mean, everybody knows it now. A Patriot-style offense. So I was curious on that. And then the other part of this one, and we're going to hear more from C.J. Stroud here, where I was just sort of like, I don't know if I feel good or not. You know, it's going to take time. We're still trying to... You know, we're still trying to get that. You got to go through the bad spots. I get that, and that's the right answer.
Do you believe it for him? Because I mm-hmm. when he's saying I'm starting to get a feel for it, I do believe him.
Oh, I definitely believe it. I don't know what the – I guess what it comes down to is I don't know what the buy-in is. I really don't. You know, based on, you know, the body language, the things he said, his demeanor, as you've talked about, maybe it was better yesterday. You saw it. I didn't. You know, the taking time – I don't know what the buy-in is completely with C.J. Stroud in this offense.
I mean, everything he says, which I guess is not the end-all be-all, but what we have to work off of, feels like it indicates that he's doing what he can mm-hmm. to make this work. And I mean, I still go back to seeing that touchdown pass on the double move where, you know, Nico Collins, you know, is able to take advantage of or get that cornerback to bite up against the Jags. I saw the exuberation. I saw the relief that came through, which mm-hmm. does not strike me as somebody who's not putting in, right?
Yeah.
Who's not like bought in on this. Like, finally, mm-hmm. finally you're seeing the benefit of the toil show up in a way. Now, of course, that's one play when you need a lot more of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I am encouraged in some ways. I don't even know to what degree or how I quantify it. That feeling of, okay, it feels like we're getting close. Now, of course, that close word really hits us. But this was C.J. Stroud cut six here. On how do you pick up the tempo? Because tempo is one of those mm-hmm. things that we've talked about, and I know even D'Amico has said, when they've looked the best, it's when they've been doing like things like two-minute offense and whatever. So, CJ, how do you pick up the tempo?
I mean, that's, you know, it could be going fast. It could be getting out the huddle faster. There's like a couple of different ways you can go about it. But, yeah, every offense wants to play with tempo and great urgency. We've been able to, you know, to get on the ball fast and do things well, like in that light. So yeah, I think that stuff has been good for us. And I thought we've gotten better with our huddle operation, you know, getting out the huddle faster. So yeah, all that stuff is, you know, great. And outside looking in, that's pretty much what that is. It's just being urgent to the ball and, you know, just playing, you know, making the defense kind of play catch up.
That was the long pause I was talking
about.
Yeah. That was a good 2 seconds.
To be fair, the question was kind of interesting. It was like, from the outside looking in, how would you explain mm-hmm. that call for like tempo? What do you think that means? So I imagine that some of this was gathering that, but the little chuckle that was in there. Can you give me that pause and the chuckle at the beginning before we even get to the answer, just to get a little bit of a feel? I know that we're Zapruder filming in this, but I just want to hear it one more time, if you don't mind.
I mean, come on.
I don't know what to make of that. He was definitely being measured with what he said in terms of up-tempo, et cetera. I do fully expect to get a bigger dose of that, to get a bigger dose of the 2-minute type, maybe not 2-minute drill, you know, rush, but certainly get to the line, don't sub. That I fully expect to see a bigger dose of that.
Especially because when this team can, the few times that this team really, especially on the offensive line, finds a way to get hat on a hat, get a seam, they can create some big, we've seen a few like 7, 8, 10-yard runs with like Chubb or even Marks, and it feels like what might be helpful is to, all right, go up and run it, or maybe not run it again, but be, have
get
a little
right
bit
to
of,
it.
So that you don't allow the defense to substitute. They don't, they can't make some adjustments. Like with how few answers you've had that have been correct right now, and that sounds harsh, but I think we've all seen this. When you do get a right answer, I kind of want you to hit the answer until it stops working and then move it along, especially if you're not going to be doing running an offense in a way that, you know, sets up one play to the next. If that's not going to show up as, you know, evidently as it hasn't early on, at least be able to use some of that tempo, use some of the inability to substitute to your advantage. And I imagine that's a large reason why D'Amico was so mad and what he said was towards a ref on the sideline, not allowing them to go with tempo. Because, like, this is one of the few things that's shown an opportunity to be successful and you're slowing us down.
Yeah, no, I think that's what they're going to lean heavily into. But again, it is still about getting those bigger plays, making it happen. We talked to Andy Kalu earlier. He said they need, you know, they need 4 or 5, you know, big chunk plays. Well, they've had 2 for the year.
Yeah.
You know,
and
so
the thing about the tempo, and it can't, like, you can't make the entire plane out of up tempo, right?
Yeah.
But I do feel like, especially as offense, I think when you're doing it right, is about creating mismatches or, like, you know, getting a defense off balance.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like they have so few ways of doing that.
Yes.
So
yes,
one of the ones that they seem to have, like, again, I still go back to the Jaguars game, and early on in that game when I see Trevor Lawrence step up to the line and start, you know, using hard counts, I'm like, oh, wow, why did I not think of that? Like, even if you don't have as good of players to line up against number 51, Will Anderson Jr., against Danielle Hunter, number 55, one of the things I know that I can slow him down with is I can use a hard count. There's so many things in football that a smart, that a experienced play caller can use to help themselves. And I feel like you haven't seen enough of those. So if you have tempo in your pocket that you know that you can execute and that can create some level of advantage, you got to utilize it. You got to lean on the things that you can do well, and that's one of them.
Yeah.
With CJ Stroud, he was also asked about how this situation has challenged him as a leader to this point.
Yeah, I think every year has its own challenges, you know. I know everybody always brings up, like, the past, but, you know, every year is different. And for me, I mean, I think in my past, like, there's times where it gets hard and you just try to, like, get past it instead of, like, leaning in to, like, see what you can learn from. And right now I'm just in that process of, like, doing both, you know, like, fighting through it, getting through it, and then also leaning in and seeing what I can learn about myself, about this team, about, you know, the NFL, about defense. So to me, I think it's, you know, it's something that, of course, it's new to me. Like, I haven't started like this yet in the NFL, but also I've had this happen in my career before. I'm just learning. I wouldn't say as a leader, it's surprising, you know, that it's challenging, but I think that's what's dope about being a leader is, you know, when everything is tough, you know, who keeps the faith? And I think that's, for me, is like, the definition of faith is like of what you cannot see. Like, are you going to trust that? Because everybody, like, if God appeared right here, but, oh, I believe in God now, you know, like, it's easy, you know. I know that's a whole different subject, but that's kind of like how I think about it. Like, I'm going to just, as a leader, keep the faith, knowing that I haven't seen it just yet on the field.
That was a tough one for me, you know.
What made it tough?
Because he's talking about, you know, still learning, trying to get it on the field, and I haven't seen it on the field just yet, you know, because I think it's tough on him, you know, whether he really is – you know, we none of us have seen it on the field yet.
Correct.
But whether he,
and if you have, you're I need
squinting.
To know what you I need to know what you're smoking, honestly.
Yeah, because you want to get there fast. We're going into week 4. It's kind of time to really start seeing these things, and you could sense from him, like, I know, you know, I want to believe in this. And that's why I talk about the buy-in. I don't know what his buy-in is. I want to believe in this. I'm keeping the faith. You know, he talked about that.
Mm.
And yet I haven't seen it on the field yet. I, you know, everybody's human, you know, at some point, is there going to be some skepticism or doubt about this offense?
That is a good question, and I feel like it won't be. Well, and that might not be the case, but I was going to say is I feel like it won't be CJ who loses the faith early. Mm-hmm. I do wonder if we're going to make this a triumvirate of people that it matters for, the evaluation process of Nick Caley early on, because clearly hot seat, whether or not there's an acknowledgement of it. CJ, D'Amico Ryans, Nick Caserio. Who loses the faith first there?
Well, I think the most obvious answer is CJ. You know, this is new to him. You just heard him say it multiple times. I don't know if he really believes that this is the best offense, the best approach for him. I mean, every quarterback wants to let it rip, you know, and every quarterback wants to be able to have concepts that can open receivers and make for easy throws. That is the number one thing for me with this offense. I think the concepts are very rudimentary. And if I can see it, they're in the meetings every day, they're at practice every day, I think they know it. And then I think he wants to make it a little life a little simpler on himself.
Well, look, this is another week. This and it has to that one was the most concerning for me, if I'm going to be entirely honest when it comes to it. The idea, okay, we're figuring out, I haven't seen it yet, and almost pointing to the idea that when do we see it? I don't know, but we will see it eventually. Mm-hmm. Eventually ain't good enough. You need to start. You need to start and start seeing a lot of it soon. Mm-hmm. Sunday, in fact, at noon, I need to start seeing it for against the Titans for this Texans team. You'll be able to hear that, obviously, here on Sports Radio 610. All right, you're in the loop. Coming up next, let's get to our lunchtime confessions, as we always do, and we will do those next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Seth Payne.
And I'm Sean Pendergast.
Did you know that Payne and Pendergast is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
That's awesome. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or if you're a jump straight to the highlight person, we got you covered as well.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, my name first, obviously,
hey,
and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show, your way and on your time.
It's the Payne and Pendergast podcast. New episodes drop daily.
Oh, intercepted before you could get to deal with that. Couple of practice notes for your Houston Texans. And, of course, the fact that I'm interrupting here probably don't mean no good things. Jakob Johnson is still not practicing, which is something that is worth noting, especially with the way that they use fullback. But more importantly, Derek Stingley also not practicing. And what's worth noting is that your Thursday practice is the most physical of them. It's probably not a good sign. I know you like talking about Friday being the real indicator, but this is a big work day of practice. And for Stingley and obviously Jakob Johnson to not be practicing today, it really casts down on their ability to play on Sunday.
It does. Wednesday, Thursday are the big days for practice, Thursday being the biggest. So if you don't participate in those, it's not a good sign. Friday, if you don't, that's a wrap. You know, you are definitely not going to play. So that's where I would leave that. Not good news. I guess Tremont Smith is going to have to step in.
I would strongly believe so, as he was the first man that they turned to last week. But I think the big thing is that now you end up in a place where you're probably not moving around, which honestly, you look at this Titans team, and we'll talk to Ron Slay at one, get a little bit of a look behind enemy lines. I think if you just looked at the roster, you go, oh, Calvin Ridley poses a challenge. He's had a rough start of the season. He hasn't been able to dial it in with Cam Ward early. So maybe you are fine with just kind of playing sides.
And that's D'Amico's MO usually until he got Derek Stingley, is not to travel any cornerbacks.
Yeah, hopefully that doesn't end up being any level of a challenge for you.
You know how I really knew that the Astros are done? When you lose Brian McTaggart, speaking of rap, that's a rap.
What, he also going to get Tommy John? I don't understand. No. What you mean lose him?
Well, like, he is so out. I think Figgy McTaggart finally said, bleep it. Like, the first tweet I saw was, you know, earlier in the game. He says, the A's are absolutely clobbering the Astros. They may be done. You know, flat out, he said the Astros may be done. And then this one kind of put it over the top for me because it speaks to the whole Astros regime and leadership and medical personnel and athletic training personnel. He tweeted, Luis Garcia will have some sort of surgery and miss all of 26. Even him, like, they're saying he's doing something. It's going to be surgery and he's out for a year. This is McTaggart, who's plugged in so deeply with the Astros.
You read that as him being lost? Like, I think that that's pretty straightforward.
To me, I kind of look at it like this. Have you ever met somebody that's always going to jail for something?
Yeah.
And you're like, man, oh, he's in jail for something. I don't know what it is this time, but yeah, he's in jail for something.
But you couldn't even get him to talk about the arm or he had surgery. You know, he's 2 years of rehab. He's going to have some sort of surgery. He's done for a year. I was like, this is...
Well, if he knew what surgery in particular, I imagine he would put that. He's like, it's a surgery.
I was saying, his frustration level, like, even he is like, these bleeping guys, they didn't even tell us what he has, and we all know better. You know, it was hilarious to me. You lose McTaggart, you're done.
Okay. I was like, I didn't necessarily read it as them losing him, but you know what? Maybe they did.
Yeah.
Funny enough, my confession is also Astros related. Apparently, just today... Jeremy Pena said that the oblique strain that he's dealing with, imaging reveals that is a strain rather than just kind of discomfort or whatever. He said he's tried to swing but still feels pain even when taking medium or mild swings rather. And I don't need to see any more Jeremy Pena. Like, look, there is still a technical mathematical way for you to win and get in. I would absolutely be furious if he ends up trying to push through this and hurting himself in a much bigger way.
Yes.
Even as you've heard the general manager of this team talk about how they're going to need to, or that they will examine or evaluate their medical staff. I don't need any more. Just go ahead and rest this thing out, brother. Like, if you can't get it done with the rest of what you have here, then you were probably not well situated to do very much at all. Yeah. I would be frustrated in a season in which we finally got the full coming of Jeremy Pena in the way that we were looking for when he won the ALCS MVP. Like, I think that I'm ready to just let him ride this one out. You served your service over the season, and if they can't get it done without you, then it is what it is.
No, I totally agree, except for the last thing you said. But either way, the lineup, by the way, we should mention it here. Jose Altuve back to leading off and playing.
Pena.
And playing second base, obviously, then. But that's DH. Correa back at third base. Caratini catching. Christian Walker first. This is why I wanted to give the lineup. Jesus Sanchez played so well. He's back in right field again today.
Who is the shortstop?
Shortstop is going to be Mauricio Dubon.
Okay.
Yeah. Zach Cole in center Taylor Trammell in left, and then Fromber pitching, of course. So.
All right. Okay.
Jesus Sanchez time again.
235. Ooh, the Athletics.
I don't know if he can buy another drink. If somebody buy him a drink here, man.
Yeah, that's right.
I was seeing a whole bunch of.
It was brutal.
Yeah, I'm like, man, I hate that his name was Jesus, because it was so much hate across that J-E-S-U-S.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, man.
They're talking about Jesus.
Get Jesus out of here.
Oh, my gosh.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Seth Payne.
And I'm Sean Pendergast.
Did you know that Payne and Pendergast is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
That's awesome. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or if you're a jump straight to the highlight person, we got you covered as well.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, my name first, obviously.
Hey!
And hit the follow button to get every minute of the show, your way and on your time.
It's the Payne and Pendergast Podcast. New episodes drop daily.
I got to confess, and I ain't think I would love this person this much. And mind you, I don't know anything but just what I see on social media.
Mm-hmm.
But I absolutely love Carly Ursay Gordon.
Oh, really?
I just love it, man. And maybe we never seen anything like this where a younger woman just going around as the owner of the team.
Headset.
Just, Yeah. I just like everything I see about this. And maybe it could go bad. I'm not sure. I don't know her personally. But this kind of remind me, and this is no offense at all, but this kind of remind me of if somebody like the Kardashians just own the team and they just out
he
there.
He said no offense and then mentioned the
No, it's not. It had nothing to do with, you know, their backstory, their background, yeah. anything like that. But it's just a younger woman.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no offense just, to Carly Ace or Ursae Gordon. There's people listening. I'm offended that you made me think about these people.
No, it's just kind of cool seeing a younger, a 20s. I want to say she's in her 20s, right?
I think she might be a little older than that.
20s, 30s. Yeah. But just a younger, like we've seen women owners in this league. But I never seen a younger woman like this in the league, just kind of going, moving the way she move, and
I respect it.
At the on
really
social media
respect,
stuff, like I like it.
Yeah, she's got like a notepad or a play sheet or something, and like looking at it. It's got the headset on. Yeah. I mean, at least she's like taking an interest here, man. Like really involved.
Yeah, no, yeah. I like it a lot, man. And I feel like we probably gonna see more of this way down the line when you know. Owner's kids get a little older.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing I thought about was the Meniers, and they got a little one right now. She's probably like 5 or 6 or something like that. But just imagine in about 20 years from now, where they pass her the reins, and will she be walking around like that?
I mean,
how old did you say you believed her to be?
Probably around 5 or 6.
No.
Carly Ursae Gordon.
Oh, I said probably in her 20s, maybe 30.
She is 44 years of age.
Oh, wow.
She is a grown ass woman.
But again, to Figgy's point, she goes to every practice.
No, for sure.
On the sideline.
In fact, there was video of her like jamming out to some of the music that they had with her sparkling water, whatever.
Yeah, like I think I might have ran across her social media too. I don't know if it was Instagram or Twitter, but she just like a regular.
Yeah.
Person just posting everything and stuff like that. I think that's kind of cool, man.
I really do. I do.
I don't know if it's going to do anything.
I know it's not popular in this city, but I'm with you.
That's all nice. Bleep them.
So since I've been an adult and I go to Major League Baseball games, if I'm lucky enough to catch a foul ball or a home run, I always, you know, hand it or toss it to some kid nearby. That happened last night, and my confession is I'm not so sure I would have.
What happened?
Kyle Raleigh hit number 60. What is he? There's only been, what, 4 or 5 players ever to hit 60 home runs?
Yeah, I believe
Judge.
In the
Ruth, Maris, Judge, obviously Bonds, and Sosa and McGuire. So 6 or 7 maybe. He hit number 60. First, you know, catcher to ever do it. First switch hitter since, who was the switch hitter? Anyway, Mantle. No, but Mantle hit 60. Yeah, Mantle hit 60. Anyway.
Yes.
Right. So the first this, the first that, MVP, clinches the division. He's going to be, you know, obviously, I think MVP. I'm not so sure I would have. The guy who caught number 60 in his glove, by the way, shout out to him bringing his glove, tossed it to a kid next to him. Then they got the kid and they scooped him up and he got all kinds of.
Of course he did.
All kinds of stuff to give the ball back, like autographed bats, met Cal Raleigh, you know, went into the clubhouse, all this. I'm not so. I want to believe I would have tossed it to a kid, but that's number 60 in a big.
Well, you know where that's going eventually, though. You're like, you would want to get the stuff.
That's
although,
what I mean. I got grandkids.
Are you give the ball back or are you, I'm going to sell this
guy? No, I never would.
I was going to ask you that. Are you actually keeping the ball or you going
to
make
it? I just like to.
You're going
to
make a deal with the Mariners or whoever.
Yeah, because I give it to my kids, grandkids, give them some you know, gear and some autograph stuff, some pictures or whatever. So shout out to that guy. He gave it to a kid, and he didn't seem to hesitate one bit. And that kid had the day of a lifetime.
Would you try to negotiate what you get?
Oh yeah,
maybe.
Without question.
I might have said,
because let's say, hey, we give you a pair of tickets or 4-pack of tickets.
Yeah, I would have
for a couple games next year.
I would have said that's all.
Sign it. What would you try to get out of it though?
I think a bat. I think an autographed bat.
That's. Your starting point is bad. I don't even. Don't worry about negotiating.
Well,
you're not
again,
going.
That's
places.
The starting
he
point.
He said a bat. No, you start hot. What are you negotiating?
You want season tickets or something?
Yeah. Because they
about
might.
To say, is that too much to ask for?
Yes, that's the whole point. You start with too much to ask for, and they walk you down. Maybe I get a 10-game pack or something. Come on now. He says start with a bat. Yeah. Are you crazy?
I'm like, let me get season tickets and let me get a picture. Let me get a picture with the guy at least.
Season tickets, a suite.
That's wheat might be a little too much.
Exactly. And if they eventually are like, here, we got a bat for you. That's where Lopez started. That is where you started.
Cool. I'm done here.
I'll just take a bat. They'd be like, psh, we can get that to you right now.
That's right.
They'd be like, I don't know. A bat, you know what? Let me go talk to my manager.
You know
manager
what? We give you a bat and a glove.
That's crazy.
No,
bat.
I'm not the Phillies lady. I wouldn't have taken it away from a kid. I wouldn't.
Oh, man. The Karen.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. All right. Those are your Lunchtime Confessions here in Loop on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into some buy or sell as we do on a Thursday. In fact, I believe this is going to be Texans. This is a Texans edition. A
lot
edition
of Texans today.
Of some buy or sell. Are you buying what these Texans are trying to sell you? 713-572-4610. We do that next. Yeah, you're in the Loop here on Sports Radio 610. If you're just tuning in, some notes from practice. Apparently, Derek Stingley Jr., not at practice again. So did not practice yesterday. Seemingly does not practice today. Those are the meat of the work week, at least the physicality. Fridays end up being more of a walkthrough type thing. Obviously, it's a tell on whether or not somebody's going to play, though, on Sunday, at least with this organization. But as of right now, I have a strong feeling questionable is best case scenario.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like you're probably going to be without Derek Stingley this week.
It definitely feels that way, and it definitely does not make me feel good.
No. Yeah. Does it make you feel any better? Titus Howard, who was out yesterday with an illness, it was back today. So the idea of the shuffle, we can put that away. I don't think that that's...
Yeah,
but what
are they going to do at guard?
Which one? Left guard?
Left guard.
Well, I feel like the easy answer is play the dude who was better, which is actually Juice Scruggs.
You would think.
Or rotate.
Oh, God. I can't tell you how upset that got me. I tried. I tried earlier this week. I think I said, that got me really upset.
Ah, okay. All right.
And it did. It did.
Fair enough. did any of these things get you upset? Do a little buy or sell. Are you buying with these folks? And I believe they're all Texans.
Not all. No.
No? Okay, I lied.
Mixed in a few others here.
Fair enough. Are you buying what these folks are trying to sell you? 713-572-4610. And fair enough, champ. Rather Sting sit if he's not 100%, especially with the Titans coming to town. With their wide receivers not all world. Talk about Calvin Ridley, Elik Ayomanor. Those are really the guys. Tyler Lockett. Those are the guys you're looking at. And none of those make me go, oh, you need to do something particular, especially with the form that Calvin Ridley's been in. Regardless, buy or sell, John Lopez.
Yeah, we've got some D'Amico Ryans appearances here. We'll start with this one, and it was yesterday, talking about the locker room and the C.J. Gardner-Johnson stuff, and what does it all mean behind closed doors. D'Amico Ryans said, quote, our guys all have a great attitude.
I am going to buy that, especially now C.J. Gardner-Johnson no longer in the locker room. Again, C.J. Gardner-Johnson is one of those dudes that he seemed to always pop up like this. Mm-hmm. And again, I was very much of the opinion that it seemed like he was matured up and that you would not deal with that. Seems like maybe you did. I don't know, right? I'm not in that locker room. But at least historically, there have been some issues, right, in that. And I don't necessarily blame him for that, but we can all talk about that in a realistic way. Mm-hmm. Outside of that, they make it their point of making sure that they get guys that are amenable to being here, right? They talk about not everybody can be a Texan under D'Amico Ryans and Nick Caserio and everything. Like, there's kind of a confirmation of this in the way that they handle the selection of their players. So I do believe everybody has a good attitude.
Yeah, I'm kind of buying it, too. I just feel like they still kind of sticking together a little bit, and they're trying to keep it positive for right now. I don't know how that's going to look if they lose to Tennessee going forward, but no, I think right now I do think they have a great attitude about things.
I would buy it if you're just saying, you know, by and large, everyone has a great attitude in the locker room. I would buy it. We've all been in locker rooms. I can't imagine 53 people all having a great attitude about everything, especially if you're in the offensive side of the locker room. There's always someone who says, man, we should be doing this. I think, you know, this is, you know, not working. We've seen, you know, just little hints of frustration. So I guess in general, I'm going to say, hey, is it okay in that locker room? Does everybody have a great attitude? I guess I'll buy it, but if you had to get particular, I know there's probably some guys in there that are
I think people not happy. People are probably kind of like maybe questioning some stuff maybe now, but I think if you lose to the Titans and you 0-4, I think that's when you probably get a little more rumbling.
Yeah. All right. How about this one from D'Amico? And then I'll move on from D'Amico. But talking about last week's game and the sideline scene, whatever you want to call it, with Nick Caley. I was talking to the official. I was not yelling at anybody on our sideline.
You know what my answer is going to be here. I'm buying this. It all adds up. Like, mm-hmm. It adds up that they were trying to go tempo. You can see that specifically what happened where the ref is standing over the football. There had not been substitutions. And I checked those things here in mm-hmm. the studio at that point. All those things add up. It adds up. Like, that does not mean inherently that there might not be some frustrations with the way that this offense is running, because you can also go to where D'Amico is asked specifically mm-hmm. about Nick Caley and how he assesses it. And he's like, we're all in this together. Right. And none of those things specifically speak to Nick Caley. I'm certain that he's frustrated with where the offense is, particularly with the execution of it. But as far as that particular moment, it all adds up that he was frustrated more with the refs than anything else.
Yeah, I'm going to buy it, too. I don't think D'Amico, and I know he ain't going to mention if he did yell at Nick Caley or anything, but mm-hmm. It kind of makes sense a little bit when you look at everything that happened around that time. So, yeah, I'm buying it.
This might surprise you, but I'm actually going to buy it, too.
Why would it surprise me?
Because I was kind of on the other side here earlier in the week. But I also feel he ain't happy with Nick Caley. I mean, he might have been yelling at the referee because he's still mad at what's going on the field, and he just didn't want to go right at Nick Caley. You know what I mean?
D'Amico don't really seem like that type of person that would yell at a coach on the sideline right now. Mm-hmm. But
his frustration was venting somewhere else is what I'm
let's
saying.
Say,
oh. Yeah, that's where I'm saying. Like screw okay. you, Figgy. You know, even though I'm not mad at you, I'm just trying to, you know.
Mad at the situation.
I'm mad at something else.
You can say you're mad at me. It's cool. Yeah. It's all right. Yeah. I respect it.
Now, if it did come out and we did see he was yelling at Nick Caley, it wouldn't have surprised me.
Yeah.
Because at that point, because the offense been that bad.
Yeah.
But you're right. Like, I think that frustration is for Nick Caley because, again, we were just talking about it. It feels mm-hmm. like one of the few things that you had that would create an advantage
sure.
is tempo. And so the one thing that you have here is like, why are you stopping me from this thing?
Yeah.
This guy's
bad enough as it is.
The creator of that frustration going. Is Caley, right? Yeah. Like, we have not gotten any other advantages. The first time this dude came.
He needs all the help he can
yeah.
get.
Right, right. So in that way, yeah, for sure, I'm with you in that.
All right, how about this one? Last one from D'Amico. He's making a lot of appearances on Buy or Sell this week. You're buying or selling? D'Amico was asked yesterday, did cutting C.J. Gardner-Johnson come as a shock to the rest of the roster? His quote, I don't think it was a surprise.
Because we've heard from other guys that were like, mm-hmm. they made the decision.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to sell this because he was like, I don't think it's a surprise. And then he also backtracked and said, and if it was, they figured it out quickly, basically.
Yeah.
As if, like, hey, that none of that matters was basically the tenor mm-hmm. that I got from D'Amico on this. So, yeah, I'm guessing that there was for some people for whom it was a surprise mm-hmm. because you know why? It's surprising to cut a dude 3 weeks into the season yeah. after you just traded for him.
Period.
I'm going to actually buy this, and this is off of speculation right mm-hmm. here why I'm buying this. I'm guessing maybe something happened there where – players are probably like, oh, no, I don't see him playing another snap again. Yeah, like I don't know what happened. I don't want to go that far, but
yeah.
I figure something happened where you ever see somebody around here do something and you say, man.
Oh, they're gone.
That's it. It is over.
They're so gone.
I'm guessing it was something like that where he said, I don't think it was a surprise.
I'm still selling it. People, I mean, it's shocking. It's just shocking, you know.
Even I think the situation is shocking.
Yes. All right, how about this one? Let's lighten it up a little bit, and I think this is a very important question that needs to be answered.
Oh, God.
Seth Payne said he could put on 40 pounds in 2 weeks.
I believe it.
He said he could put on 40 pounds in 2 weeks.
I am buying that. You've sat next to Seth in that press box.
Oh,
he'd be chowing down?
And the cookies and the...
He puts them down. Damn. And I'm like, also, on top of that, he was in them trenches.
Mm-hmm.
Those, like... The people in the trenches, there's two types of dudes.
40?
There's the dudes that are naturally big, and there's the dudes for whom they had to work for it.
Yeah.
And when it comes to football, them people know how to do it, right? They get them on that peanut butter diet where it's just peanut butter with everything. You get milkshakes and everything.
Peanut butter, milkshakes, brisket, and beer.
That's how
you gain weight.
They will put it on. It is crazy, Ray, to put 40 pounds on, and yet and still, I believe that he's capable of doing it because he has that, one, he has that determination. Two, it seems like he has like that metabolism kind of to like to mm-hmm. get that kind of, or like I guess, the hunger to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. And three, I think he has the know-how. Put all those together, and I think that he could do it.
Yeah, I'm buying it too. That's a former defensive lineman. Mm-hmm. And if you look at some of his old pictures, he had that big old neck.
Big neck, has a big thick neck going on.
So I think he know is like professionally know how to gain 40 pounds in 2 weeks.
Yeah, the question is how much of that 40 pounds would be good weight? That's the big question.
I think both of you are correct. He can gain 40 pounds. Ain't no way he can do it in 2 weeks. Zero chance. 40 pounds in 2 weeks, that's 20 pounds between now and next Friday.
That's right.
Next Thursday.
But see, this is a...
You gain 20 pounds between now and next Thursday?
This is a professional NFL player,
Knows how to do it.
Yeah.
But in the 2 weeks is what I'm selling.
Actually, yes, because I'm currently on a run where I'm adding weight, not intentionally, by the way. Over the last, I want to say like half a week, I was like, oh, this is 5 pounds. That's on track.
All right. Not 20.
No.
I trust him on that. He sounds super confident in that.
Actually, Ray is saying, don't challenge him, OG. I want you to understand that what's happening here, and I will completely unmask what John Lopez is doing because he thinks he's being clandestine.
No, I'm not trying to.
What he's trying to do is he's trying to basically
bait him.
Yeah, bait him into doing this, adding those 40 pounds, and then at that point, John Lopez is going to be like, let's run that mile, boy. Let's run it.
I'm going to run the mile then.
Let's run that mile.
C.J. Stroud, are you buying this or not? He was asked about Hatgate because he had the Mariners hat on. How'd that work out for you? Then he had the Yankees hat on this past weekend. How'd that work out for you? And in the course of his answer, he said, you know, it's just style. It's not. I'm buying all that. But he did say this in the course of the answer. I am not on social media.
This is one of the ones where, you know, I actually don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea. The tough thing about this is I want to sell this just because he is of a certain age where all these dudes have grown up on social media and he may be off it, but I don't know that everybody in his family and his circle is off it to where
he said, people tell me, you know, and he also said it's more style and, you know, people say what they want. It's not real. But in the middle of it, he says, I am not on social media.
I'm buying it.
Really?
I'm buying it. Yeah, because it's a clear difference between, and I'm not trying to compare the two with Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson will often post some stuff where you could tell it's kind of him. But CJ, his page in general is not that active should be.
I don't mean you're not on social media.
You're saying he's
technically,
lurking?
I don't think he's on there scrolling and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I think his team probably runs his social media account. And they do an okay job, but it's not really that active.
You know what? I'll buy this also because he seems like the thing that we would do to go and like lurk and scroll, he seemed like he opened his Bible. You know what I mean? He seems like that is how he uses his idle time. It's like, well, let me go ahead and do a little bit of this over here as opposed to like, let me scroll Instagram a couple of times.
Yeah, because you don't really see a lot of CJ Stroud opinions on social media at all.
I don't know, man. It's a big ask. You guys are convincing. I'm kind of leaning toward buying it as well. I don't know if I can pull
his social media. To me, like I said, you don't really get a lot of his opinions or him retweeting like, yeah, let's go so-and-so, or you don't see any of that. It's kind of dead.
The reason I'm hesitating is because when you pick up your phone, immediately everything is social media. Like, it's not just
if you don't have the apps downloaded. I have friends who are actually really good about, like, they delete the app. It's off their phone.
He might.
I do feel like we kind of give the younger generation a thing where all of them are on social media. It's some of them that don't really do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's a very small minority. I think that the point that
he
you're
could
making
be
is
that minority,
he
though.
Very much could be. I could see that being the case.
And it could be his team that's kind of like, don't, you know.
And in addition to that, and I'll leave it at this, is it's also worth noting like the run-up that we've had, the context. This offseason was a very...
Now, there is that. Okay, you guys can. I'll buy it for now. I'll say I'm not on social media for now or right now.
Right. This was a very quiet offseason for him. I wonder if he took that as a portion of all that. All right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you doing a little buy or sell for us. What I need you to do for me is be caller number 7 right now, 713-572-4610. At least that's if you would like to see the University of Houston Cougars with their improved defense, no losses on the record, take on one of the best, if not the best team in the Big 12 in Texas Tech. Next week. That's caller number 7 right now, 713-572-4610. In appreciation to the University of Houston for making that four pack of tickets available for caller number 7. Caller number 7. There we go. Here on Sports Radio 610. All right, you're in the loop. And coming up next, let's go behind enemy lines. We're getting ready for this Titans game, and we know what the tone and tenor is of the conversation. Our conversations are here. I want to get what the feel is there in Nashville on the Titans side. So let's talk to Ron Slay of 104.5 The Zone in Nashville, and we'll do that next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Seth Payne.
And I'm Sean Pendergast.
Did you know that Payne and Pendergast is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
That's awesome. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or if you're a jump straight to the highlight person, we got you covered as well.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, my name first, obviously.
Hey!
And hit the follow button to get every minute of the show, your way and on your time.
It's the Payne and Pendergast Podcast. New episodes drop daily.